Last week we were looking at verses 31 down to verse number 34. And here again in verse number 35, the Apostle Paul starts another question. Now in verses 31 down to verse number 33, Paul asks a total of five questions. He said there in verse number 31, he said, "What shall we say to these things?" He was referring to verse 28, 29, and verse number 30. And he goes on and says in verse 28, "For and we know that all things work together for the good to them that are called or that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified." No wonder Paul said in verse 31, "What shall we say to these wonderful things?" Then he said in verse 31, he said, "If God be for us, who can be another question?" And in verse 32, he said, "He that spared not His own Son," made a statement there, but ended it with a question. "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" Another question. "Who shall," verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And then he ends that with a statement. "It is God that justifies." And then verse 34, he said, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, rather that is risen again, who is ever at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." Now, verse 35, he starts off with another question. "Who shall separate us from the love of God?" We want to give special attention to this question this morning. It ought to encourage us. In other words, Paul says, "What shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Now, we were told in verse number 28 that all things work together for good to them that love God. Sometimes it's hard to believe that. I'll be honest with you. I was talking some years ago. A man came to me, and he's broken down in tears, and he was just tore all to pieces. And he said, "Pastor, I can't understand it, why my wife left me. I can't understand why this happens. The only thing that I can take courage in is Romans 8:28. That all things work together for good to them that love God." Now, not everybody can claim that. There's only a few that can really claim that. These are the children of God. So we're told there in verse 28 that all things work together for good to them that love God. You and I who are called and justified have been called and have been justified freely by the grace of God through the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only reason that I have the position that I enjoy is because of the love of Christ. Is it possible? Think about this. Is it possible for me to enjoy the love of Christ and then lose that love? I think not. I think the Bible is clear that nothing is able to separate us from the love of Christ and the love of God which is in the Lord Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I take this literally. There's no way other than to take it literally. Nothing is able to separate us. Now, we are told that tribulation cannot. We are told that distress cannot. We are told that persecution cannot. We are told that famine cannot. We are told that nakedness cannot. We are told that peril cannot. And neither can the sword. I want ISIS to hear that. I want the Muslim world to hear that. Neither can the sword. They may be able to separate heads from bodies, but they cannot separate us from the love of God. What shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? We are told and we are reminded over and over in verse number 28 that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called. We're also told in the Word of God, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and who He called, He also, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. Now I know that just boggles our mind. This is deep water, so start treading. I don't want no one drown. It's deep water. But I want us to think about it this morning. To have the love of God in your heart and to be called by the Holy Spirit and respond to that call is the same thing as to be born again or to be saved. Sometimes we get hung up on these different terminologies, but it's all the same thing. If you have the love of God in your heart, then this is a very clear indication that you are born of God. The Bible says, Paul or John said over in 1 John, our class, our school, has this year, instead of jumping from one verse to another or passage, we opted to just study 1 John. And 1 John 4, verse number 7, tells us everyone that loveth is born of God. So a great indication that we've been born again is that we love God and we love our brothers and sisters. A great indication. Then we're told also that if we love God, then we also love our brothers. Now, having been called by the preaching of God's Word, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so being called by the preaching of the Word of God, by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and have been justified by faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, and then in God's mind, having been glorified, this is where predestination comes in. Predestination, I said last week or the week before, predestination has nothing to do with the lost man. It has everything to do with the believer. We are predetermined, predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. We are told in verse number 29 that we are to be conformed to the image of Christ. The image of God's Son demands glorification. And in God's mind, He says that we are already glorified. In the mind of God, it is already in the past. The reason it is in the past is because in God's mind we are predetermined to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus. I repeat it again because it's hard for us to grasp that from time to time. Predestination has nothing to do with the unsaved. But rather, predestination has to do with you and me who are born again, the moment that we become born again Christians, accept God's plan of salvation, His work, His finished work of on Calvary, then that moment we are predestined to be glorified, to be conformed to His image. It has nothing to do with the lost. It has everything to do with those that are saved, that we are predetermined, foreordained to be conformed to the image of our resurrected Savior. Now, before that great and glad day, before that day comes, what could separate us from the love of God? This, I am reminded, is there any conceivable thing that might destroy, is there any conceivable thing that might disturb the plan of God and the purpose of God? And what is the plan and purpose of God? Our glorification. That's God's plan. That's God's purpose. Is there anything that can destroy, can detour, can derail God's plan? In other words, we have been called by the preaching of God's Word and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We have responded by saying, I accept, or I receive, or I believe. And again, I don't know what your terminology. The night I got saved, all I did was called upon Him. I couldn't tell you if I said, Dear Lord Jesus, or Dear God, or some people say, oh, I don't know if I prayed right. If you called, you prayed right. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this thing of repeat after me, I don't find that in the Word of God. And I know you might have to guide and might have to, you know, just tell, you know, well, some people don't know how to pray. Don't know how to just tell them to pray. Pray from the heart. But I'm not going to get hung up on word. Do you accept Him or not? Do you believe Him or not? That's the thing. And so we responded by saying, I believe, I receive, I accept. We have received the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior. It may be at an altar, it may be at an invitation, or it may be like our dear brother Miguel sitting right back there on Sunday, maybe he's sitting beside you, bud, on that Sunday morning, and he said he believed in his heart, and he signified, I just trusted Christ, just simply raised his hand. I talked with him after. I said, Miguel, did I interpret you right? He said, yes, I believed in my heart that Jesus Christ is my Savior. Amen. That's what it's all about. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, in God's mind, we are also glorified. In actuality, we have not yet received our glorification. Just look around. All right? Just look around. I don't see very much glorification going on right now. No, in actuality. Yet, one day, and what a great day and a glad day that's going to be, either in the rapture or at the resurrection, we shall experience that glorification. When Christ died for me, He died not only to save my soul and save my spirit, which are already saved, but He died also to redeem my body. I am sealed by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit, until the redemption of the mortal body. Paul said in Ephesians 4 and verse number 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. I never open a can of home canned preserves or home canned, I don't think about that. Pop that seal. My grandmother, my mother, we used to do a lot of canning, put up vegetables all year long in the garden. Green beans and corn and tomatoes, just you name it. If you could put it in a jar and pressure cook it and everything, we canned it. Go down there in the dead of wintertime, the snow's blowing, and it's cold. Reach out and get a couple of quarts of green beans and open those things up and pop that seal. I'll never do that without thinking, I'm sealed until the day of redemption. Some of those jars, that we, if you don't rotate them, they get, you know, 4 or 5 years old. I've never gotten any poison from it because it was sealed, amen. I never opened one of those without thinking, I'm sealed until the day of redemption. If anything in the world could disturb God's plan and interrupt God's plan and destroy God's eternal purpose in us being conformed to the image of Christ, then I would have some concern. I would be concerned about what that might be. Paul must have been also a little concerned, or he may have knew some that were concerned, because he is writing this letter to the church at Rome. And Paul must have been also a little concerned because he said in verse number 35, who or what thing shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who or what thing or what experience or what tribulation can separate us from the love of God? If anything can separate us from the love of God, then our glorification is only a dream and not a reality. You understand? If my glorification is not a reality, then my being sealed by the Holy Spirit until the redemption of the body is just a fantasy. But because I have God's word on it. I was talking to a fellow the other day. It might have been a month ago. You know how the days run together. He said, Pastor, he said, Preacher, he said, I just don't feel saved. I said, glory to God. It ain't by our feelings. I know what you mean. I said, I'm saved because I have God's word on it. Some days, sister, I feel saved. Boy, my soul just runs over. And then I get a phone call, go meet somebody at the clinic, or get a phone call, hey, we got a dear brother over here, and he's going through something. I go talk to him and find out his cousin committed suicide. And you hear those words and you hear those things. We hear about all this. I'll be honest with you, sometimes I don't feel saved. Thank God I'm saved, not by my feelings, but by God's word. He says it. Amen. But I have God's word on it. I am persuaded thoroughly that I am to be glorified someday in God's great time. If I go by the way of the grave, and I'm not planning that way, I haven't bought a cemetery plot yet. If I go by the way of the grave, then I am to be lifted out of that grave, gloriously incorruptible, gloriously immortal, and also gloriously celestial. I have none of those attributes right now. You understand? I am not immortal. I am not immortal at this moment. Instead, I am mortal. I am very mortal. and I am not incorruptible. Ask my wife. You don't have to agree so quickly. I am not incorruptible. If anything in the world could stop this or cause this not to be a reality, then that thing would destroy God's great plan. That thing would destroy God's great plan of redemption. After Paul asked this question in verse number 35, he said, who shall separate, or what shall separate us from the love of God? I believe at that moment that God the Holy Ghost moved upon Paul in such a mighty way, moved upon him, and I believe the Holy Spirit moved him mightily upon him. And Paul began to enumerate, the Holy Spirit began to bring to his mind enumerate some things that some might imagine would separate us from the love of God. Verse 35, he goes on, he says, shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. Down through the ages, down through the years, many of God's people have had fiery trials or tribulations. Could those take us out of the hand of God? Out of God's plan? Out of God's purpose? Could those things destroy God's predetermined purpose that I be conformed to the image of God's Son? Down through the years, there have been many of God's people who have suffered distress, perplexity. Don't you realize there's many of God's people in the world today are perplexed? Why is this upon us? Why did I have to flee my home? Why do good people, people have capitalized on it with writing book after book after book, why good things happen or bad things happen to good people? You know? Oh, there's a lot of perplexity. There's a lot of distress out there. Others have suffered all kinds of persecution beyond human description. Can persecution disturb God's predetermined purpose? Predestined purpose? Others have suffered famine. None of us. In fact, I was looking at trim down program this morning. It just seems like everything I do, I do pretty good for a couple of days, and they have a benefit. I have to buy a pie. That's an excuse. Or they have a free barbecue. Or they invite me over to the house for dinner. My mama said, whatever they set in front of you, eat it. It's her fault. But listen, there's been many of God's children suffered famine. You and I, we don't know nothing about that. They have literally been starved to death because of their faith. They have been imprisoned and food withheld until they died of starvation. Can that destroy God's purpose? Can that destroy God's plan in conforming us to the image of His Son? Can those things destroy God's love toward us? Others have experienced nakedness and peril and danger, threats to their lives. We see the pictures. How would you like to be in that's going to be a wonderful facility for their standard. But you and I, we wouldn't stay in that. Would we? Huh? We would if we had to, but we don't have to, so we won't. But I'm talking about There's children. There's Christians around the world. Does that separate us from the love of God? Thousands and thousands have suffered peril and nakedness and danger and threats. Others have experienced death by sword in days gone by and even in our day. Beheadings left and right because they named the name of Christ. They'd rather die than to conform. And they've sealed their testimony in their own blood. Thousands and thousands times thousands of people down through the years. If you've never read books on the martyrs, the trail of blood, you need to read some of those of our ancestors in days gone by. Have suffered martyrdom. Could that separate a man from the love of God? No. Look at verse number 36. Paul goes on to say, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Here's the answer. Verse number 37, Paul says, nay, in all those things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I don't understand this completely. I mean, we are more than, I know what a conqueror is. But he said, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who loved us. I could never conquer in my own strength. Now, we'd be whining babies, wouldn't we? In my own strength, the only reason people that down through the years have been able to go through those things, God moved on them in a mighty way and gave them grace. We could never be conquerors in our own strength, but I have enough wisdom to know this. We can never avail as long as our personal ability is concerned. We do not have the sufficient resources of our own. We would only fail completely and bring shame upon the church and bring shame upon the cause of Christ. We do not have the victory within ourselves. But the Bible says in Christ Jesus, we are more than conquerors through Christ. He's the one who gave His life to pay our sin debt. So, in the Lord, we do conquer. And in Jesus, we are secure. And nothing is able to take us out of the hands to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to note something right here. I said nothing can separate us. The Bible clearly teaches the doctrine of eternal, everlasting life. You can't get around it. You can't. It clearly says, Jesus, His own words, Jesus said in John 10 and verse number 28, I give unto them eternal life. Now, how can you argue with that? Jesus said, it's in your Bible. It's in red. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life. That's not just life, but that's eternal life. And the Lord says so. John 10, and verse number 28, Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. Let me illustrate this. Lincoln, I want you to come over here. Come here. This is one of the strongest six-year-olds. Are you six or seven?
Seven.
Lost a tooth. Looks like a hockey player. Yeah. Right there. I know that looks like just a rock, garnet. But that's a Christian. That's you. And the Bible says if you're saved, you're in the Lord's hand. Now, get me out of there. Get yourself out of there. Go ahead. You see about how ridiculous that is? Here we are. And he's trying, just like the devil, just like all the imps of hell, trying. There's no way in the world. I don't care what's going on. He can't do it. We're secure in the Lord's hand. And on top of that, we're in the Father's hand. And Jesus went on to say, you can stop now. All right? All right. Thank you. Hey, look here. We're there. Amen. We're there. I know sometimes the storm seems rough. I know sometimes hell seems so like it's raging. But praise God. Ever so often the Holy Spirit even looks in there and says, you all right? Amen. Been in there for a long time. And I don't care what the devil does. What can separate us from the love of God? Jesus went on to say, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. We are in His hands and the Father's hands on top of His hands. And then Jesus went on to say in verse number 30, just to make the devil mad, I and the Father are one. Amen. Show the devil that next time. He's a liar. This is the clear teachings of the Scripture. This is the Word of God. And then Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse number 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. If we accept these verses at face value and take them literally as I believe that we ought to, then we must come to the conclusion that we have eternal life. Now, it seems that Romans 8:35 and the following teaches the very same truth. Look at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sore, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And in verse number 38, Paul says, for I am persuaded. I am persuaded. Amen. Glory to God. Paul said, I am persuaded. Can I just add another amen there? Amen. I'm persuaded. I'm convinced. Don't talk to me about it. My mind is made up. I'm going to just trust His Word. I might not be able to explain it. I might not be able to expound on it to the fullest. I'm going to be a believer, though. I might not be able to make everybody believe, but I can make everybody believe that I believe. I am persuaded. We could hardly do otherwise. And I am completely convinced that neither, look at verse number 38, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, or powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any, just in case something, Paul left out something. Now remember, there's no way he could because he's under the direction of the Holy Spirit. So in case your mind goes wild and you think this, the Holy Spirit said, add this, nor can any other creature. That helps my imagination sometimes. Just when my imagination thinks, have you ever thought this? Or am I the only one? As a young person, I wasn't fully into the Word of God, and I got to thinking one day, what if this is all a fake? What if all this is just a phony? You know what that was? That was a trick of Satan. But the more I got in the Word, I had God's Word on it. I can't explain it. I can't fully, you know, explain all of it. It's grace. All of grace is my story. All the way from earth to glory. I can't explain it. I can't explain how electricity, water comes off of Black Mountain down into that turbo and turns those turbines, and we got electric. But I'm not going to set it. We got an electrician back there, and he can go through all the technical stuff, but he can't really. I'm not going to sit in the dark, though. I'm going to walk over that light believing. Flip it. Stand around in the light. I'm going to trust God. He says, nor any of the other creatures shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. What other persuasion could you come to if you believe the Bible and accept the Bible at face value? If we accept all the great truths of Romans 8, verse 20 to 8 in particular, and verse 20, and also verse 29, and verse number 30, and where we are clearly told that we are foreknown and predestined to be conformed to the image of God. Les Feltic helped me the most in just recent years. Les Feltic, if you have ever listened to him, he's just a Bible teacher out of Oklahoma, just a farmer. But this thing about foreknowledge and predestination and all that stuff, just kind of, you know, and I said it's been one of those things that has disturbed the church down through the ages. He said, I want you to look at it this way. He said, the Bible says, whosoever will may come. And we, on this side, we go through the door. We get on the other side and we look up above the door and it says, before the foundation of the world. I can't explain it. See, those things, the foreknowledge and the predestination, that belongs to God. On our side, he says, come. He said, go into all the world to preach the gospel. Tell them all to come. Whosoever will may come freely and partake of the water of life. Those that respond walk through that door of salvation. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We get through, so we look, foreknown before the foundation of the world. That helped me more than anything. Now somebody says, oh, that's too simple. Well, that's what I am. I'm a simple man. I'm a simple man. But if anything could disturb God's plan to conform us, then that's not much security, is it? If I'm predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ, then there would be no possible way for me to fall from grace before the predestination was accomplished. God said that we're predestined. That's eternal security. You're predetermined. You've been born again. And he says you're predestined to be conformed to his image. And if anything happened in between, then that takes away that. There's no way. There's no way. The fact remains that I am predetermined to be conformed to the image of Christ. Let me show you something. Go with me and I'll close with this. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians. I love this. 1 Corinthians verse number chapter 15. Verse number 51. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. Surely all these things are mysteries. If the apostle Paul said it's a mystery, he had a lot of revelation. God moved on. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. He says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. I think that's that glorification, ain't it? Huh? Don't you think? He says, in a moment, in the twinkling of eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. With all that, he ends that chapter with, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abound, come hell or high water. What can separate us from the love of God? Paul went through and named all kinds of things. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain. Oh, we might not see them coming in by the hundreds, but we're planting churches, and they may see them coming in by the hundreds. Amen. Hey, we might not see them coming in by the thousands, but some little missionary there in Nepal or down in Peru or down in China, we got a new missionary coming going to Hong Kong. Billions of people. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, faithful, always abounding. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. With Paul, I want to say, I am persuaded. I am persuaded. Take your garbage of trying to convince me otherwise. I have God's word on it. I might not be able to explain it all, but I believe it. I can't even explain my insurance papers. But every month I send the premium in. I can't explain it. You know, all those therefore, thereto, and all that wherefores. I just trust him that if I ever have to make a claim, it'll be there. Because I have their word on it. That's more. Some of you trust your insurance policies more than you do God. Whose word are you going to take? Amen. I know. But there's people that'll stake their life on it, won't they? But they'll say, I can't believe that. But I'll believe this. Sign it away. I'd rather believe God. Jude 24 and 25 says this. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. Who shall be able to separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Nothing. Condensed version. Nothing. Amen.